Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Lockdown Rams. Thursday edition of Lockdown Rams. We've got a great show for you. As usual, we've got Vinny Bonsignor. He's a writer for The Athletic, covers the LA Rams and the NFL. Regular guest here on the show. Guys, if you ever have a question for Vinny or Serena on our Thursday, Friday show, make sure to shoot me a message, whether that's on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us at Locked On Rams on all accounts. And then my personal is LA underscore Rambling Bear. I'll take all questions for these guys. I love kind of picking their brain as they've got some inside scoop as they're close to the team on a daily basis. Love having them on the show. We've got a lot to get to today. I have a great conversation coming up with Vinny here shortly. Want to get a couple things out of the way. Don't forget to follow us. I mentioned all the social media accounts, so now I just got to tell you where you can find us. Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all that, and anywhere you can really download a podcast, we're there. Our network is amazingly strong. I'm so proud to be on this network covering the Rams 5 days a week. It's your team every day, only on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Go check out a couple of the other shows that we've got. Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson is great. Our Locked On Fantasy is awesome. NBA is in full force, so go find our NBA podcast or your favorite team. Jump on board, start listening, keep sharing, keep commenting. We've got an amazing giveaway we're running right now. 2 tickets to the Seattle Seahawks game. Next home game at the Coliseum. Going to be a great matchup. All you have to do is go onto our Instagram page. There's a post there. Twitter, there's a post there. Retweet, comment, like, share, you know, the standard signing up for free stuff on social media. So get in while you can. If you live locally or you live close enough to drive or fly or whatever you want to do, I've got tickets, your chance to win. I also have a couple cool things in the works that's coming up soon. More giveaways, more cool stuff. Our next giveaway will be more open to everybody, not so much tickets locally here. But open it up to everybody so your chance to win is just around the corner. But you have to be following us, so go do that now. Well, as we move forward, Deontay Fowler has landed. He is here in LA. He's had his first talks with the media. I'm actually really excited to talk to Vinny about that. Ask him, pick his brain a little bit. See what he had to say today. Potential of him playing already. How much should we expect him? All that and more coming up. Jamon Brown, who was released from the team in a corresponding move to make room for Fowler, was picked up by the Giants. As I expected, someone was going to grab him. Giants, great team to grab him. Their offensive line has looked pretty bad. I almost wouldn't be shocked if we see him getting some playing time this week and potentially being a starter next week moving forward. Jamon Brown had a great season last year as part of that group that didn't miss a game together, but that suspension kind of threw him behind the bus a little bit. And here we are. He's gone. Fowler's in. A lot to get to today. So what I'm going to do, quit this solo rambling. I'm going to throw it over to the conversation I had with Vinny Bonsignor. We'll be back tomorrow with Serena Morales. Any questions, comments, concerns, hit me up on social. I'll ask her, give you a shout out on the show. But you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time, peace. Enjoy my conversation with Vinny. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. This is the Thursday edition of Lockdown Rams, and you know what that means. That means we've got Vinny Bonsignor with us. He is a writer for the LA Rams and NFL for The Athletic. Go check him out at Vinny Bonsignor on Twitter. And if you don't have an Athletic subscription by yet, we are not friends. You got to go check him out. Great content always going up there. Vinny, how are you doing today, bud?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing? Everyone survived the Packers scare?
Oh my gosh, my heart. I don't know how I could have done it at the Coliseum with so many Packer fans talking trash, and I'm sure that had to be a fun last 2 minutes for all those Rams fans that stuck it out and made it out there to the Coliseum. What a game, huh?
Yeah, it really was, and no surprise. I mean, you know, when you play Aaron Rodgers, that's what you have to expect. He's just that good, you know, and the Packers came in with a really, really good defensive game plan and executed it to perfection. Blake Martinez is a heck of a football player.
Yeah.
Clay Matthews is still can play. They had some really good coverage schemes, you know, on the back end, and it, the Rams had to survive. You know, they had to battle, they had to figure it out, they had to make adjustments, and they did, and they won the game, and they made the plays when they needed to, and it's on to New Orleans. No rest for the weary.
Exactly. The schedule does not get easier. There's no reward for winning a close game. It's the NFL. You got to go on the road and face the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. Before we leave that game, a couple questions for you. You talked about it. They had a great game plan for us. What does this do for the rest of the NFL? Do you think, obviously, the Saints are watching that film. Does it kind of give the rest of the NFL a little bit of a game plan of how to approach the Rams?
Well, I mean, I think that teams have game plans. It's about how you execute it, and do you have the players good enough to execute it as well? And, yeah, I'm sure teams are going to take a look at, you know, what the Packers did. There's no doubt. But you also have to have players as good as Blake Martinez and Clay Matthews and the guys that were bringing most of the pressure from various different places. And then also have guys who can cover, you know, the way the Packers did, whether it was a one-game thing for them or that's what they do all year. But they really played well on Sunday. So, and on top of that, the Rams did make adjustments. They got better as the game went on, dealing with it. And so, but to answer your question, yes, teams will look at that. Whether they can execute it as well, that's the question.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Not everyone has a guy like Martinez, who, you're right, was just unbelievable, especially in that first half. And you talked about those adjustments. What makes Sean McVay and this coaching staff, like, so unique or so great at coming into the locker room and coming out? Because the offensive line played better, our defense played better. It was just the from first half to second half were completely different. Talk to me about those adjustments that they made at halftime.
Yeah, they're pretty guarded on what exactly they do adjustment-wise. I talked to Rob Havenstein, and I talked to John Sullivan. And, you know, they weren't letting the dog or the cat out of the bag in terms of what exactly they did from an adjustment standpoint. What John told me was, look, you know, what it really comes down to is execution and winning those one-on-one battles. You know, yes, they did some things that we didn't see on film. It took us a little while to kind of figure out what they were doing. But then after that, you know, it was really just us buckling down and executing. And they believe when they're executing, it really doesn't matter so much. Now, this isn't, they don't say this with a conceit. They say it with a conviction and a confidence. When they execute the way they believe they're capable of executing, they don't think that it really matters much what anyone else does. And they got back down to executing the way they could in that second half. And it showed. It absolutely showed offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I love that you say that, because one of my favorite quotes out of this year still is Cooper Kupp saying, I think it was after that Minnesota game, that coming to the line and looking at a defense and knowing that the play you called is going to work, he's like, that doesn't happen all the time. You know, you may say it here and there, but to know that when you're coming up, you have exactly the perfect play, he's like, there's a confidence that it gives you to go out there. And you can tell in that second half, they started to play that way. You know, like you said, you can slow them down, but to get back into what they do best is kind of really tough to do against them for four quarters to slow them down. So that was fun to see, and also fun to see Jared Goff really step up and go, okay, you know, last few games, you know, it's been Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley still performed, but you know, he went out there and had three touchdowns, had some big throws to really keep the ball moving in the second half. So very important. And then Greg the Leg, just so great to have him back, to know that when we line up for a field goal, it's not so much, you know, hope and a prayer anymore. You expect those to go in. So all good to have those guys back. What we're going to do is, I got a bunch of questions about our new transaction and some other things going on. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back on the other side. More with Vinny Bonsignor on the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. All right, might as well just keep this going. Talk to you about our next sponsor. Really excited about them. Swap.com. That's right, SWAP.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we need to buy kids new clothes if they just gonna outgrow them in a few months, right? Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail prices of your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike's, J.Crew, Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy a hassle-free return within 30 days. And the great thing is, they're friends of the show, so we got a special offer for you listeners. 35% off selective items, your first order, when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, Plus, find new deals every day at Swap.com's homepage. Again, Swap.com, 35% off when using the promo code LOCKEDON. Get all those brand name items up to 90% off at the world's largest consignment and thrift store, Swap.com. Locked On always brings you the best deals, and here is another one, 35% off your first order when using the promo code Locked On. Swap.com, promo code Locked On. All right, we are back. This is the second segment of Locked On Rams Thursday. You know we got Vinny Bonsignor with us. Vinny, it was probably a crazy day out there at practice today. Lots of things happening. Obviously, the addition of Dante Fowler Jr. Talk to me about, obviously, he was at practice today. Did you get a chance to talk to him? How's he feeling? How's the team feeling? What's going on? Was there a buzz today?
Yeah, there was, and ecstatic, I would say. And it was, you could tell that he's genuinely happy to be here. Aaron Donald, you know, told us that he was grinning ear to ear when he heard about the trade. I think this is a real shot in the arm, you know, and I think that, you know, unfortunately for, you know, you look at what their plan was at outside linebacker coming into the season opposite Samson, and that was, you know, Morgan Fox, and then Morgan Fox goes out, and then Dominic Easley, and Dominic Easley goes out, and Mac Longacre gets kind of forced into, you know, more playing time coming off the back surgery, and that the production kind of, I think, indicated that. They absolutely needed to get something going on that side off the edge, and they were able to address it. And you know, automatically, their best pass rusher off the edge. I mean, statistically, even this year, as a backup, he's grading out better than anyone the Rams have off the edge. So that's going to be a real, I believe, shot in the arm. You're going to get a motivated player who obviously there's financial implications for him to play well. He needs to play well, whether it's to show the Rams or anybody else. You know, he's a viable NFL player. So I think you're going to get a happy, motivated guy that understands that playing in this defense, when he looks to his right, if that's where he's lined up, and sees Brockers and Sue and Aaron Donald, I mean, at that point, it's really just a matter of winning one-on-one battles,
right?
You know, because you're not going to get that much focus. And I think he's got the ability to be able to exploit those type of matchups. And so that's what he brings to the table.
So with that, what does it mean for Oboe? How does that affect his roster position on this team?
I believe he's going to be on the 53-man roster beginning next week, if not, you know, this week, but for sure next week. And he's going to get his reps. But right now, he's just not in a position to really help. He missed so much time. And he's a fifth-round pick, and he's a rookie. And it's the entire world changes when you step on an NFL football field. And is he ready to do that? And can you count on him to do that? And I think the Rams are like, as much as we do like him and we hope for him for the future, maybe even this year, he wasn't going to solve their pass rush issues off of the edge, and they needed to do something that was more decisive, and that's exactly what they did.
So we're kind of, I mean, and it's all, you know, guessing at this point, but Oboe's chances with this move are kind of depleting. Is that kind of what I'm understanding?
No. I think he's going to be on the 53-man roster because here's the thing. Here's where they're coming from. I mean, this is all subject to change, but in my discussions, here's where they're coming from. Can he help us today? Probably not. He hasn't been in an NFL huddle, in an official NFL huddle or an official game day huddle since last January. He has no training camp, very little OTAs, nothing at real speed. You know, they're not practicing nearly at full speed right now. So can he help us right now? It's hard to tell, and it's a lot to ask. But maybe he can help in week 12. So if you don't put him on the 53-man roster right now, you're sacrificing what he might be able to do 5 weeks from now.
Right.
Whereas if you do put him on the roster right now, he's probably not going to be able to help in the short term. And he might not be able to help in the long term. But at the very least, you have that card to play just in case. You don't want to waste somebody that can help you just because he can't help you right now. So I do expect him to be activated. I do expect him, you know, from that point in time, start getting more reps, getting more practice time, getting more acclimated. And then at some point, the Rams hope that he's going to be able to provide something for them.
Yeah, and you talked about, obviously, Fowler taking advantage and working on those one-on-one matchups, and you kind of hope the same for Oboe when he gets healthy and hopefully gets a chance to get out there, is that with the D-line that we have, we'll make it a nice, easy transition for him. Obviously, the NFL is a different game than college, and like you said, he hasn't been in a huddle in a long, long time. But it helps when you have those guys up front. Getting back to this trade, Les Snead has shown us that he is not afraid to trade draft picks, right? Went and got Brandon Cooks. I think we can all say that we're very happy with that production. I saw J.B. Long tweet out kind of a mid-season update on all of his stats, and they're all career highs for him, whether it's, you know, yards per target or yards per catch or receptions or total yardage. So that's been a great pickup for us. With this one, it was only a third-round pick next year and a fifth round in 2020. Talk to me, because we're getting a couple picks potentially back with the trades that – well, not the trades, I guess, with losing Tremaine Johnson and Sammy Watkins. How does that exactly work, and what can we expect back?
Well, I don't think it's a possibility. They're for sure going to get some comp picks. It just depends now on where it's going to be. I would say for sure – absolutely a third round pick for Sammy, and depending on how everything plays out with Tremaine Johnson, it could be a third or fourth. I don't think it's going to slip anywhere below the fourth. So yes, they'll have multiple picks in the third round, possibly three picks in the third round, one of which now is going to go to Jacksonville. So in their, the way they thought of it is, what is because of the, you know, the comp pick certainty that they're going to get something for the guys that they lost. Now you're playing with some, you know, found money, basically, and it's not your money necessarily. So they felt comfortable that they'll be able to do that. And if worse comes to worse, if best case scenario, he helps them this year, and and they're in position to re-sign him, beyond that. If I'm him, it's probably more along the lines of another 1 year kind of prove it sort of a deal, or maybe a 2 year deal type of a thing, something. They're not going to break the bank. He's not going to break the bank, no matter what he does, I don't think, this year, the rest of the way. Worst case scenario is, you know, he plays okay, they let him walk, and they get a comp pick for him, you know, maybe a fifth rounder, you know, come 2020, for the 2020 draft. So, you know, they've got their bases covered in this one. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of a fit he is, because, I mean, whether it's him or whether it's the draft or a trade or free agency, this is an issue. The pass rush issue off the edge is an issue that they're, you know, it's at the very, very top of their list to try to get fixed or improved, I should say, not only this year but beyond.
So when we talk about those comp picks, what justifies those? Is it playing time? Is it production? How do they sort that all out? Do you know?
Yeah, it's playing time, it's production. I think some money goes into it, like how much they signed for, I want to say. There's a lot, even less will tell you that it's such an inexact science, but you kind of look at the caliber of play and the production and how much playing time they're getting, and that sort of determines all of it. Who does that? I'm not quite sure.
Right.
Like, who's really in charge of it? Maybe some big computer in New York City that spits it all out, but at the very least, they're going to get one third-round pick and a fourth. And, you know, what they're hoping for is two-thirds.
And so we talked about, obviously, Fowler is on his last year of the deal. The Jaguars declined his fifth-year option. So I'm just kind of asking this because I saw it on Facebook a couple times. That means the Rams can't pick up that fifth-year option, correct? He is now a free agent after the season and free to sign anywhere. Is that correct?
Well, nor would they. I think it was for $14 million, I want to say.
Yeah.
Or,
okay.
Yeah, he was a third pick, you know, so, I mean, that's what his number would have been. It would have been in the 13, 14 or so for that fifth-year option. So there's no way, even if they could, that they would. That just doesn't really make much sense at that kind of a number.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have him. Like you mentioned, a much-needed addition. You could tell even with the Rams and, you know, Aaron Donald, as you mentioned, smiling ear to ear. They're excited to have a young guy come in and create some pressure off the edge. And I think for him, it's kind of a – you know, change of situation, a different area. Things weren't going all too well. Coming back from that London trip, obviously, was kind of just they were done with what was going on there and looking to move forward as far as getting something out of it. You saw a lot of trades going on. We saw Ty Montgomery. You know, do you think if he takes a knee in the end zone, he's still a Packer today?
Probably. I would think so, yeah. But, you know, he didn't. And, you know, the Rams really worked him over because, number one, you know, they kicked it in a position that they wanted him to bring it out, obviously. And number two, they put a play on to try to force that fumble. I mean, I'm not even kidding around. They were talking about forcing the fumble, and they did something Sean McVay mentioned on the back end to try to force him to turn a certain way, and the ball got exposed, and there's Ramique Wilson, you know, to put his body onto it, popping the ball out. So it wasn't something that that was literally something they talked about on the sideline. Let's go make this fumble happen right now and end this game right now.
Ramique Wilson, man, one of those unsung heroes that was a free agent grab or an off-season grab, shall I say. And, man, coming up big with a huge play. This team's just full of them. I mean, everyone talks about the star power, but, you know, guys like Littleton and Ramique Wilson and, you know, those guys stepping up and making those big plays. That's why we're undefeated right now. Pretty exciting. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside, pay some bills, get some words from our sponsor. We'll be right back with Vinny Bonsignor, Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. I drink till I'm drunk, yeah. Smoke till I'm high, yeah. Castle on the hill. Well, you can't tell me I ain't fly. All right, we are back. Third and final segment. I've got Vinny Bonsignor with us. It's Thursday. You know what that means. I kind of want to ask a couple more questions about this trade because it shook up a couple other things. Obviously, we saw in a corresponding move they had to let Jermon Brown go. There was a lot of questions about why and, you know, obviously giving up some O-line depth, but we have some young guys. But talk to me about how that came to and why he ended up being kind of the short man out.
Well, I mean, they needed to fit Dante in their cap. They only had, about a $1.5 million or so left under the cap. So they had to make some moves to shed some salary in order to fit him in the cap. So money is the primary factor. And I tweeted this out yesterday, in their thinking, you know, keep in mind that Brian Allen, their rookie for Michigan State, played guard and center at Michigan State. And Austin Blythe can play both positions if it ever came to that. But then also Joseph Noteboom cross-trained. He played guard, a lot of guard actually, in the preseason and in training camp in addition to playing tackle. And they feel like if need be, he could step in at a pretty high level, you know, knock on wood if something were to happen to Saffold or Austin Blythe. So they feel like they have the depth part of it covered. They didn't want to lose Jermon Brown, but you know, these things happen. It is a business, and you know, you got to fit all the 53 pieces of the puzzle into it. So that was really it. You know, they had to shed a certain amount of money, and his contract fit perfectly into that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. Money is a big thing of that, and you know, Jermon Brown coming into his final year, if I'm correct. So maybe the Rams kind of thinking in long term as well as going, well, maybe next year he's not even going to be a part of what we're doing. So kind of was a good timing as far as, you know, creating some cap space and kind of moving on, which you already knew you might be doing in the offseason. So it was a bummer to see him go. We're big fans of him. Obviously, he did a lot in the community. I've already seen him tweet out, you know, out in New York that he's excited to get involved in the community there. So great guy. I think we're going to miss him out here as far as that goes. But Austin Blythe has been playing out of his mind. The offensive line's doing great. You mentioned the youth that we have. So onward we move. And as we say, onward we move, we are heading out to New Orleans to face the Saints. Potentially, you know, this could end up being, you know, for home field advantage in the playoffs. If this thing kind of shakes out near the end of the year, this is going to be a good head-to-head matchup to win. You know, Rams have played better against the run in the past few weeks. We're holding teams under 100, or at least individual runners under 100. They've got a two-headed monster, a little bit different. Alvin Kamara had a great game last year against the – how are they going to attack those two guys and kind of, you know, really focus on the run game when behind center you've got Drew Brees?
Yeah, it's going to take all hands on deck, number one. And number two, just a lot of discipline. And I think they, early on against the Packers, they kind of got away from that a little bit. They were so intent of getting upfield to get to Aaron Rodgers. And keep in mind that the Packers' run game had been pretty pedestrian up to that point, so I don't think that they thought that it was even going to necessarily – I mean, not relatively speaking, it wasn't going to be an issue. So let's go pin our ears back and go get Aaron Rodgers. And you know, to the Packers' credit, they made him pay a little bit by running right past him, you know, on some delays and some well-designed plays. But then after a while, the Rams said, okay, I guess we got to – pay a little attention to the running game, which is what they ended up doing, and they stuffed it out pretty good. They actually played pretty well defensively to kind of keep it right where it was in order to get the offense enough time to get it all figured out and start playing well, which is exactly, you know, is exactly what happened. So this week is a little bit of a different story because the Saints actually can run the ball. They're really good at it. They've got talent to do it with, and you have to be able to pay attention to it while also trying to defend, you know, the one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So it'll definitely be a challenge. But one thing that I think always helps, they've got their attention. And once you have somebody's attention, like, this is something that we have to make a priority. I don't think they made stopping the run against the Packers necessarily a priority. I think they felt like that was going to take care of itself. But this week, that's not going to be the case. They have to, you know, make sure that they're playing disciplined and taking care of it.
Yeah, and much like the Rams, they have multiple weapons that can beat you. They don't have the wide receiving core that we have. Obviously, Mike Thomas is a great receiver, but they don't have the depth there. But they can beat you in lots of ways. Drew Brees is coming off of his worst performance as a Saint. I think he had 120 passing yards, his lowest amount since joining the Saints. I was talking to our Locked On Saints host, and he was telling me that coming off of bad games, Drew Brees ends up being very, very good. He listed off a few big numbers that he had. If you were to name off a stat line of Drew Brees that you would be happy with and say, okay, that's what Drew Brees got, the Rams can win the game, what would you think that'd be? Maybe passing yards and touchdowns, interceptions, what do you think?
For the Rams, you know, you'd probably want to see him around 268, a couple of touchdowns and a couple of picks, and maybe about three or four sacks. Maybe a forced fumble, but also, you know, it doesn't hurt sometimes when he's got to go 50 times a game, because that means that you've got the lead probably, you know, and he's just airing it out and trying to come back. So there's two, you know, sometimes stats could be a little bit misleading. If he throws the ball, if he has to throw the ball 40 times and throw for 400 or something yards, and he's been forced to do that.
Yeah, and you're right. The turnover battle is going to be huge for us. I think he threw his first interception last week as well. So hopefully that kind of broke the camel's back, and he'll start throwing some more our way. Getting back to Fowler, Sean McVay said, you know, it's going to depend on how much he gets into practice and can pick up everything. But I saw him interviewed earlier. He seemed pretty confident that he's going to pick everything up pretty well. He feels comfortable in the outside linebacker position. Snap-wise, what do you expect to see him this week as far as playing?
I mean, I think if he's feeling it, you know, he could get up to 30 snaps a game, 30 snaps, 25, 30 snaps or so. They're going to throw the ball. You know, the Saints are going to throw the ball. And you want to, I mean, this is if you're going to go trade for a guy, and you've got Drew Brees and the Saints coming up, you know, you try to get him on the field as quickly as you can. And you know, he's a guy, I think that, I mean, he had two sacks and, against New England in the AFC Championship game last year. So he knows how to play in big games. And like he said today, we talked to him. He's like, you know, it's outside linebacker. I just got to basically rush the passer. It can't be much easier probably for a guy who's been in this league for 4 years now to get up to speed than at that position. It's a pretty one-dimensional type of a situation. I don't think they're going to be asking him to drop back in coverage. Yeah, of course, pay attention to the run, but mostly it's go get the quarterback.
Yeah, and we'd love to see him go do that on Sunday. This is going to be a fun matchup to kind of gauge where we're at. I mean, we've seen some good teams, and I saw NFL released the top 10 Pro Football Focus offenses, and we had played, or we will play, 5 of the top 8 of those offenses. So as for those people out there saying that the Rams have an easy schedule so far, really aren't paying attention to football because we're playing some tough offenses. This is another one that we'll be facing on Sunday. Well, we do this every week with the MyBookie, big sponsor of the show. And this is a little weird for us. And I didn't check the line as of today, but the last time I checked it yesterday, the Rams were actually the underdog for once. And it makes sense. You're on the road, but it's a weird position for us. We're getting 1 point. So talk to me about this spread. Do you feel good with it? Plus one Rams?
Yeah, I do. And it's, you know, you're on the road. That's almost a pick'em right there. I mean, you're going into one of the toughest places to play in the NFL against a team that's won 6 straight games and with a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, and it's still only a 1-point spread. That's a lot of respect, I think, to the Rams, even though they're not the favorite team. I think they're going to be in this game, and I think they're going to be in this game, and I, terms of the potential of the home field advantage, of sending a statement, of showing that they can, they're capable of winning a game like this. And I think that all that they've learned over this last month, especially playing on the road and playing in difficult circumstances and atmospheres, and teams that have circled them on their schedule. This is no longer a Rams team that's taken anybody by surprise. This is a team that's gotten everybody's attention and getting their best shot as a result. And they have for the last month or so. And they're going to get the same from the Saints. But I think that the Rams are ready for this challenge. And I think that they end up winning this game.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you're right. We've had so many matchups in this season already that really tested us, whether it was going and playing one of the coldest games in Denver ever, going back up to Seattle, which is always a tough place to play, not getting caught up in a trap game against a division rival up in San Francisco, and then obviously the Thursday night game on a quick turnaround with, you know, Marcus Peters playing, you know, after we thought he was maybe done for a couple weeks. So this team has seen some adversity. We get Cooper Kupp back. We've added, you know, this edge rusher. I think this team kind of has got something going. I'm with you. I think they win the game. I think they cover the spread. I'm excited. We didn't get it last week, but we got the win. So we'll see how it turns out this week.
The only reason you didn't get it was because Todd Gurley made a heads-up play. So otherwise, they cover the spread.
You're right. You're right. And I was one of the people that was totally, totally cool with him going. That was such a smart play. We've got tons of people on social media asking us what we thought about that. And I couldn't have been happier. I didn't have him in fantasy. And I don't know if you had a chance to see Matthew Berry's rant about that. It was pretty epic. And he basically said, Gurley got you 35 points up to that point. What more do you want? Some of us drafted David Johnson. Get over yourself, Gurley owners. So it was pretty good one, and a pretty good point there as well.
I'm sorry, you had me worried there. I thought you were saying that Matthew Berry went on a rant on Todd Gurley. I was like, what is he thinking? But good that he even a fantasy owner like that understands, you know, sometimes the give and take and the priorities that are in place.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was almost like he kind of played it like he was going to go that way and then flipped the script and kind of came at people, because everyone turned to him like, you get it, right? You get it. And he's like, no, I don't get it. You guys are morons. So I was glad he was able to step up for us and get that going. Ryan Clark is another great ranter of the Rams. I love every time he's on I think Tuesdays he releases his power rankings. Appreciate it, Vinny. Thanks so much. We look forward to following your coverage the rest of the week, and then through Sunday. Travel safe down there. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Take care, man.
I drink till I'm drunk, smoke till I'm high, castle on the hill, wake up in the sky. You can't tell me I ain't fly.
You can't tell me I ain't fly.
I know I'm super fly. I know I'm super fly.